The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we are talking about sinuses. There has been so many people who have come in who just have this either chronic low-level sinusitis, or what I've been seeing more often recently is that this is starting to turn into acute sinus infections. And what makes me think about this is I more recently have gone through just that. A couple of months back, I went through one of the worst sinus infections I have ever had and was able to fight it naturally. And it was a rough little stint there, but I think it's just one, you know, sometimes we think that the only way to fight infection is with an antibiotic, right? And I'm not your medical doctor. I'm not your prescribing physician. You know, there's a time and a place for medicine, but what I will say is that the body is awesome and the body is strong and the body can really be able to do great things in order to boost immune system. So we're going to dive down into that, figuring out some different actionable steps. If you have that, or if you have some symptoms or leading up, we'll make sure that we take care of all of that. But before we dive down deep into that, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's health news.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health news now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Maybe today the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
For today's health in the news, cancer immunity gets a boost from one common nutrient, study finds. Intriguing optimism. So eating a diet rich in one vitamin has been shown to improve responses to immunotherapy and reduce tumor growth. So vitamin D could be a surprise weapon against cancer, new research suggests. Now, if you've ever listened to my show, Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne on Freedom 95, you will know that I love a couple things, coconut oil, vitamin D, right? So I'm like, ooh, this is a catchy title. Vitamin D. So a study of mice published in the Journal of Science found that eating a diet rich in vitamin D changed the gut microbiome in a way that boosted cancer immunity. So the micronutrient increased levels of the bacterium Bacteroides fragilis, which is shown to improve cancer immune response. The mice that received vitamin D showed improved responses to cancer immunotherapy and greater immunity to new tumor development. This is according to research at the Francis Crick Institute in London, the National Cancer Institute of the U.S., National Institute of Health, and the Aalborg University of Denmark. What we've shown here came as a surprise. Vitamin D can regulate the gut microbiome to favor a type of bacteria that gives mice better immunity to cancer. So they said this could one day be important for cancer treatments in humans. Why one day? Why is today not that day? They said the researchers aren't sure yet why vitamin D seems to foster a quote unquote good microbiome. They said if we can get this, we might uncover new ways in which the microbiome influences the immune system, potentially offering exciting possibilities in preventing or treating cancer. This comes from a co-author group lead for the Cancer Immunosurveillance Group at the Cancer Research UK Manchester Institute. Always such long names. So Sharma Farqua, an MD, a neuro-oncologist, Neuroscience Institute, Jersey Shore University of Medicine, was not involved in the study, but shared his comments on the findings. He says, as a doctor who treats patients with cancer, my initial reaction to the study was one of intrigue and optimism. The findings suggest a potential link between vitamin D levels, the microbiome, and cancer immunity, offering potential new avenues for improving cancer treatments and prevention strategies. They obviously said improving the body's immune system against cancer is crucial. Cancer is a complex disease with diverse mechanisms of evasion. By exploring new ways to boost the immune system's ability to recognize and destroy cancer cells, researchers can develop more effective and targeted treatments, ultimately improving patient outcomes and survival rates. They talk about we're learning new things every day about how those bacteria impact our weight, hormones, immunity, and even mental health. Deficiency of vitamin D are known to impact immune functions negatively. In lupus, for example, vitamin D levels below 50 are linked to higher disease activity. Based on the finding of the study, Farouk said she recommended people making sure their vitamin D levels are adequate as comprehensive approach to potentially lowering the risk of cancer. You know, of course, while more research is needed to fully understand the relationship, maintaining optimal levels of vitamin D is generally beneficial for overall health and may contribute to reducing cancer risk. Even a small amount of sun exposure can expose to maintain an adequate level without skin damage. I'll kind of share a little bit about my thought process and what we do next. So depending on the time of day, there's a study that was done in Valencia, Spain. People with lighter skin only needed about 10 minutes of sun exposure at noon on their hands, feet, neck, and arms. However, in wintertime, the time of sun exposure required is nearly 2 hours. So for some people who work inside, this may be a little bit more difficult. Studies in humans are needed to learn more about the link between vitamin D and cancer immunity. But they said the benefits for cancer prevention and treatment. Moving forward, I'd like to see further research delve deeper into the mechanisms underlying the interaction between vitamin D, the microbiome, and cancer immunity. So I thought this was interesting, and here's why. Because we've been talking about vitamin D for cancer for a while. And this isn't like one where, you know, you're this hippie chiropractor is telling you take vitamin D and it's going to cure your cancer, right? So don't misconstrue what I'm saying here, is that when we look at research and, for example, lupus, and it's like, hey, it said that vitamin D levels over 50, it never once said in this research study that it was going to cure lupus or get rid of your lupus. What it said was that symptoms arose more if it was below 50. And that would make sense. Vitamin D is part of your immune system. Vitamin D is needed for absorption of calcium into your blood. The best way, I told this to someone the other day, the best way you can get vitamin D is to go outside. The process of how your body naturally increases vitamin D is that UVB rays, when they hit your skin, will penetrate the skin and turn your cholesterol into vitamin D. It's literally the mechanism of vitamin D. But the problem is because throughout time we have been taught to fear the sun, right? So before we even go outside, we're going to lather up with a sunscreen, right? It screens us from the sun. It screens us from UVA and UVB rays. So what happens is when the sun sees your body, it says, well, we don't absorb any of that into the skin because you put this barrier, this screen to block the sun, hence a sunscreen. So the problem is that we might be outside, but if your body doesn't have the ability to utilize that sunshine, then this is where we even see pediatric populations with a deficiency in vitamin D. Now, what can you do? What I do not need is someone to tell me that my little, I have blonde hair, blue eyed kids, right? So we start in the spring where if it's a cool sunny day, right? So say it gets up into the 60s and say we live in the Midwest. So 60 degrees in March and April seems really, really hot. I'm like, take your shirts off. Go play outside in the backyard without your shirt on. Because it gives just a little bit of sun. They're likely not going to get sunburnt. They're only out for a couple hours. They'll get too cold. They'll put their shirt on and they'll come back inside. Okay. So what happens is as we allow those kids to go outside and play in the sun a little bit, like my children, if we start early and move up, they never really burn, which is really interesting. Now, if we think that they might be getting a little bit red or burnt, I don't want to damage their skin cells, obviously. And so those are ones where, like, go put on a shirt. The rare occasion that we use sunscreen is more often than not when we're somewhere that's not a lot of shade, that a shirt may not be a great covering for them and long sleeves is too hot. Or if it's one that maybe we go down to Florida and it's March, or February, and I haven't had the opportunity to build up kind of that base color on them. So, and this goes for myself as well. Like, I do this for myself. There is an app that you can download. It's called D-Minder, like Reminder, R-E-Minder, but it's just D-M-I-N-D-E-R, D-Minder. And you'll type in, here's what my, like what the skin looks like, what complexion is it one? So for me, if I do burn, I'll typically get red once and then I'm good for the rest of the summer. My kids have a little bit more olive skin, which comes from my husband. So they just get tan and stay tan pretty easily, even though they're blonde hair, blue eyed kids, you know, and then darker skin. So for example, the African-American population oftentimes has a decrease because their skin is darker. They actually absorb less of that UVB. So that is more oftentimes than not that I see a decrease in vitamin D for the darker skinned population. So when it is winter time, you might say, I never want to take vitamin D. And during the winter or the summer, I don't. I get outside and you can set it on your phone. Are you in your swimsuit? Are you in shorts and a t-shirt? Are you in long pants and long sleeves? It allows you to put in how much of your skin is exposed, what time of day is it? Is it overcast or not? And then when you look at the different, I forget the grading systems of skin type, but you can type it in and it almost, it's a calculator for how much vitamin D. And that's where every person's different. I think getting a baseline number. So if you do annual blood work, that's a really, really great opportunity to jump in and say, hey, can you also check my vitamin D? We do it in the office too. It's a blood spot. I started doing it in the office because I saw how much they were charging me for a vitamin D and realized that I could probably do it cheaper. And I can in the office. We just hand you over the vitamin D. You take it home. It's a quick, easy finger prick. You send it in. We get it in a couple weeks after. And you can see. And then that way you can be more specific. This is one even so with Prime IV. Prime IV Hydration and Wellness, primeivgreenwood.com. If you bring in your lab work, if you're under 30, I think you can go every other week for an intramuscular injection. If you're over 30, I think it's every 3 weeks because it's a fat-soluble vitamin. So it's just one where you're like, hi. And then we figure out, you know, we're like, oh my gosh, vitamin D helps the gut. And we see all of this really, really great gut stuff. And by the way, that also helps with cancer. And you're like, is it important to know your gut health then? And it's like, oh no. You're like, what? We're missing. Your gut's so important for your immune system, your second brain. Why are we not paying more attention to your GI system? Just because you have a bowel movement every 3 days, that's not normal. Just because you don't typically ever have formed stool, that's still not normal. There has to be a way that we get down to the bottom when we get to the cause to realize like, hey, your gut health is such an important thing, but by the way, it helps all of these other things as well. So just really getting on, you're like, hi, vitamin D is the best. It also helps with your gut. Also, it helps with immunotherapies for cancer. And you're like, yep, that's why I've been saying for day in and day out, years in and years out, take your vitamin D, go get some natural sun. Do you ever deal with nose hairs and wonder, what's the point? It does have to do with your sinuses, and I'll tell you about it more next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Here's Dr. Leanne.
I woke up today with a smile on my face. Sounds like a song I wrote yesterday, but I feel that way again. I'm feeling real, real good again. Like a good umbrella on a rainy day, or a road trip riding on a full tank. I feel real good again. I'm feeling real, real good again. And everything will be...
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter. Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we are talking about sinus congestion. I have had quite a few patients come in to the office recently struggling with sinus related issues. Now, I feel as if, I mean, it's like saying lung related issues. You could have just a plethora of things. So I just want to talk a little bit more about some of the common causes for sinus congestion, like the symptoms that they present with, but inevitably ways to help support and give some actionable steps on what to do for that. I will say, too, one of the things that makes me a little bit kinder, I don't want to say like I'm unkind, have more understanding, if you will, is that a couple of months back, I got sinus, it was a full-fledged sinus infection. This is probably gross, but I'm going to tell you anyways. Because when I tell you that this was, I mean, it was beautifully colored, but your green should not be coming out of a nasal cavity like that. But walking hurt my face. Being alive hurt my face. The wind hurt my face. I couldn't lay on the pillow because just lying my face on the pillow hurt my face. It was rough, you know, but I've been working a long time on gut healing and all of the things. So it was really important to me to see what I could do from a natural standpoint. Were some of my RN friends concerned? Yes. But, right, because inevitably you don't want the infection to spread to your brain. I totally get it. There is a time and a place for medicine. And I decided to do things more of the natural one. So let's do, I'll tell you about this, nose hair. There's like an actual purpose from nose hair other than bothering your wife because it's too long and we don't want to look at it. Oh, every Christmas for about 5 years, I would forget that I got my husband a nose trimmer, and then I would get him another nose trimmer, and then I would get him another nose trimmer. And I would think actively because he wasn't using the nose trimmer because I could see his nose hairs. But then one year he said, I promise not to throw it out this year. I'll keep it. He just kept throwing it out. And that's why he didn't have it, because he just didn't think he needed it. But he did. He sure did. Anyways, back to nose hair. So when we talk about understanding the role of nose hair, that, you know, God made us a certain way for a certain reason. And so when a person inhales, they introduce a variety of allergens. We're talking pollen, pet dander, dust mites, into the nasal passage. These allergens trigger an immune response with those with sensitivities. So nose hairs, and then there's an aspect called cilia. Cilia are strategically located in the nasal passage, and their design is to capture these allergens. You have goblet cells that actually secrete mucus, acting as an adhesive that binds allergens to the cilia. So the primary function of nose hair is to filter and trap these allergens. And what that does is it prevents them from entering in to the lower respiratory system. This is important, obviously, especially for those with allergies, as it reduces the risk of allergic reactions, including asthma attacks. So it just minimizes more allergy symptoms, which is one of the things we'll kind of talk about, but I'll fast forward to right now. One of the things when people have chronic sinusitis or are chronically congested, or if you know that your body doesn't love some of these outdoor allergens and it's outdoor allergen season, those are ones where neti pots or Neomed sinus rinses. Okay, so something changed in my life. I don't know what it was, but this more recent sinus infection, someone said, go get the Neomed. And I said, excuse me? And they said, the Neomed. It's the SinuFlow rinse. And so it's like a little water bottle with this rounded cap, and it's just this gentle squeeze. So it doesn't feel like you're drowning to death. But sometimes when my sinuses are very full, I cannot get the rinse to move through like I would like to, because it's stuck. And the neti pot doesn't have any sort of pressure. It's all per gravity. And maybe I've got different nasal mucus than other humans, but there's just a certain point where I sit kind of upside down for so long that I'm like, I'm pretty much done with this. Wear this Neomed, and you get them right next to the neti pot at wherever you find them. And it still uses the same packets as the neti pot, which I thought was interesting. So I just assume this is maybe another one. But it gives such amazing sinus relief. I held on to it for a couple of days, and finally someone said, what are you doing? Just use it already. And I did, and it was wonderful. So those are ones where you can rinse it out, but especially too, there is actually a purpose for the nose hair. There is actually a purpose for the nose hairs. So although I don't care to look at them, when it's like, oh, we have this for a reason, and you're like, it's protection. Your nose hairs are just for protection. So let's talk about the different types of, let's talk about your sinuses in general. You have multiple different sinus cavities, all that have different names. Frontal sinus, right? Your frontal sinus is the one that's kind of where your eyebrows meet, right above that. You have your maxillary sinus, your ethmoid sinus. You have all of these different sinuses. Basically, a sinus is a cavity, right? And so when you have congestion, it's just fluid being trapped in your sinuses. Sometimes it might feel like a stuffy nose or a feeling of excess fluid. But these are ones typically lateral to your nose, above your eyes, behind your eyes. It's one too where if you like bend down and it feels like your eyes are just gonna like fly out of your face. Mm-hmm. That's from the pressure because of the fluid in your sinuses. Oftentimes it'll present with different types of symptoms. Sometimes it'll be a stuffy nose. Sometimes it'll be a runny nose. Sometimes you'll have a postnatal or like mucus drip down the back of your throat. Sometimes it's facial pressure or pain. It can correspond with headaches, cough, sore throat, bad breath because of the infection, or fatigue. So there's different causes of sinus infections. What I see more often than not, because we're flagged and we move a little bit more, are typically sinus infections, but can be from other things. Food sensitivities, environmental allergies, mold exposure, which all very much makes sense that when you look at what would cause that, it's mold, little spores of mold should not be in your body. Environmental allergens, food sensitivity is more of an internal thing. When you hear of sinusitis, typically it just, itis means inflammation of the sinuses. So it's inflammation of the sinuses that occurs with a viral, bacterial, or fungal infection. Sometimes acute symptoms can be 4 weeks. Chronic can be longer. Usually when I see a sinus infection lasting that long, that is often something that warrants a bit of a deeper dive. If someone just walks in and says, hey, I have a sinus infection, I'm not almost immediately going to be like, you should check your house for mold. Because, for example, mine, I think, was just one. As a kid, I always used to have chronic allergies, and I really don't have them as much anymore. But when those seasons start to change, that is where I notice that I have a little bit more. So here's what I've started to do. If you are someone with seasonal allergies who have a little bit more chronic sinus problems, here are some actionable steps. Number one, rinse out your sinuses. Right? If you're running around outside, you're at your kid's ball game, or you're going for a hike, and you know that you have more outdoor seasonal allergies, like you're allergic to every tree or pollen or whatever that looks like, just preemptively rinse your sinuses afterwards. Number two, I tend to steer away from the synthetic antihistamines, just because I like my brain, and there's a lot of science about dementia and Alzheimer's that's linked to there. We have a product in the office, and you have to get this through a practitioner, but it's called Dehist, dehistamine. And it is one that has quercetin, it has vitamin C, it has stinging nettle. Oh, yeah, stinging nettle. So all of these natural antihistamines. A histamine is your body's immune response, an allergic immune response. That's what a histamine basically is. So stinging nettle, you could actually make, that's why I said, oh yeah, I forgot for so long. I made my own stinging nettle tea. I just got leaves in it, got a very big steeper, and I would steep it for a day. Like I would do a hard, deep seep and drink nettle tea. And that was really, really helpful. I kind of haven't done that in a couple of years. I think I will actively blame it on my children. They make me forget things sometimes. But stinging nettle is a really, really great natural antihistamine. And those are ones where, just like we talked about vitamin D and how it was so great to boost your immune system and all of these things, whenever I have this, one of the first things that I'll do, especially if it's green, I know it's more of an infection, I know it's more acute, I will do more natural things that help increase my immune system. And so we'll talk a little bit more about what those are. But there's usually a reason. So you have to address root cause of your symptoms as opposed to just kind of masking it. If we thought you had mold, if it was that a little bit more common, sometimes you can, I've had someone who's like, yeah, I had my mold, my house tested for mold. And I said, and they're like, there's none in there. I said, how long ago? They said 5 years. So that's not how mold works. That's like saying I had my teeth checked for cavities 5 years ago, so I don't have any. And you're like, you can get them in the meantime. I think color, like, is typically where we see in the shower or whatever, a bathroom, you'll see that color change. But if you have a place that's typically more damp, has moisture issues, if you've got like a smelly or a musty odor, or you have more of these allergic-like symptoms. I had a, there's a video that someone had sent to me, and it was a woman talking into her bathtub about how she had lupus, right? Autoimmune, tons of immune system issues, just like a lot of problems. And she's sitting in her bathtub trying to like relax some of her muscles. But the amount of mold that was in this bathtub, I'm like, ooh, goodness gracious, you want to see some of these like allergic and environment, like part of that is so incredible. It's incredible. Sometimes you can't see mold. And mold is not just one that you throw bleach on. There's actually ways to get rid of them. But I think another aspect when we're looking at more sinus congestion is looking at environmental allergies. We often think about the outside, but we fail to often think about the inside of our home. Pet dander, dust mites, mold again is one of them. A 2005 study actually showed indoor air pollution can be particularly damaging to your respiratory health, more so than outdoor. When I tell you, if there's any chance that I can ever get to open up a door or a window in my house to get some fresh air, you better believe I'm doing it. In the office, at our house, if I can open up the doors and windows, it is a good day. Because of the sheer fact, like, we pride ourselves on the fact that we're not air conditioning the outside or heating the inside or whatever that looks like for whatever season it is. So we have these windows that seal air tight. The bathrooms are one of the most toxic because you have to think, if you're on city water and that water is chlorinated, and it's not like we're typically filtering our toilet water. So you have water that's sitting in your bathroom that is chlorinated, and you get off gassing, and then you spend time in there getting ready, going to the bathroom, showering. You're breathing in that gas. And if that gas is next to your bathroom or your bedroom, then we've got that off gassing that's going in. And so it's just another aspect of indoor aspect. But if you don't have an indoor air, you just get a HEPA certified. You can look at it. It's just an easy way. If you are someone, I had a patient years ago and we did all of this digging and attempt to find for this chronic sinusitis. She had this chronic sinusitis. Well, one day she said, I'm allergic to dogs. And I said, do you have a dog? And she said, yes. And I was like, that's where your sinus. So here are your options, right? You get rid of your dog. She's like, never. I'm like, you have to get like a good HEPA graded air filter. Or you live your life with this chronic sinusitis, you know? And so she settled on getting an air filter, which, you know, I wouldn't get rid of a dog either. But if you're something miserable day in and day out, it is something else to really evaluate. The next aspect that could be causing your chronic sinusitis or sinus congestion also could be increasing childhood ear infections. Tell you what it is next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Today's the day we talk about snot. Sinus congestion. If you're listening to Maximize Your Life, I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. 2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That is greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. So I wasn't really wrong when I said snot is just one where there's been so many people who have come to me and just been like, man, I don't know what to do. And so much of this I see is immune system related. The more that we can support the immune system, the better. Though that being said, there's a reason. Like, there's a reason why all of this is still happening. So I want to talk just briefly about food sensitivities. Now, there is a difference between food sensitivities and food allergies. So from statistics standpoint, food allergies, 2% of adults, 6-8% of kids have. This is typically an immediate response in terms of reaction. So 2 hours or less. Where food sensitivity, there are more, not quite half, but slightly less than half. And then the other aspect is that it's typically a delayed response, 48 to 72 hours. Food allergies are more, that's like a peanut allergy. It is life-threatening. Shellfish, life-threatening. Where oftentimes food sensitivities are, they're not deadly. They just cause joint pain, IBS, tired, eczema, headaches, right? Like there's more sometimes like a histamine response where you have like hives. More common sensitivities are wheat and gluten, milk and dairy, corn, eggs, and sugar. Oftentimes you'll see like food allergies, peanuts, tree nuts, eggs, milk, and fish or shellfish, right? Here's what's really interesting. I have a mom who brings her daughter in. She is probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 at the time when they started. And she was having chronic ear infections. And as opposed to having them like every 3 to 4 weeks, or I'm sorry, every other week, it went to like every 3 to 4 when she started getting adjusted. It moved to every other month. But when they'd happen, she was like, I just want to get rid of them altogether. And I said, I do feel like this is a point now that you should evaluate for a food allergy and or food sensitivity. You can do that through an IgG test. And it's a simple blood spot. I actually did it on my, oh gosh, he's my oldest. He was probably 18 months at the time because he had really bad eczema. And I know that eczema is an outside problem that is actually an inside problem. We see it on the outside. We try to treat it on the outside, but it never really works because it's an inside problem. And so I started looking at food sensitivity and what to take out because we were just introducing all of these things. And his eggs were off the chart. So we took out eggs. We went through gut healing, reintroduce them, and now he does okay with it. But here's what's really interesting. This was published in a research article back in 2001. Interestingly enough, it is a it's written in Spanish, which makes me think, oh, we should know this in the United States. We just have to translate it. But anyways, they talk about recurrent otitis media. So otitis media is an inner ear infection. They found important pediatric clinical problems and related to food allergy. So they reviewed children with food allergy and otitis media, and they looked at a period of 3 months of duration or every 6 months since the last allergic reaction in the clinic or being seen in the allergy clinic. And what they found was that recurrent otitis media and food allergies demonstrated. The most common food allergy associated with milk, eggs, bean, citrus, and tomatoes. So I see this so much where instead of like this big anaphylaxis reaction, when your body's like, ooh, that's foreign. How do we get it? And you're like, well, the mucus, right? Because the mucus, we're going to produce the mucus to get rid of all the junk. And so we produce all of this mucus, but then usually when we see all of this thick mucus, we're like, oh, I'm just going to take a medication like an OTC to thin the mucus. But the problem is that the mucus is there for a reason. Like the mucus is not the cause of the problem. So some actionable steps, right? Number one is that for that, you can do a food sensitivity test or you can just eliminate some more of the common allergens. Again, some more of those common allergens would be wheat, gluten, soy, shellfish, eggs, and dairy, right? So go gluten-free, dairy-free, and nut free. So really, and you might think, oh my gosh, I have no idea, but there are so many like Whole 30 recipes and options now that they didn't necessarily have a year ago. I would say from an indoor standpoint, this is one that you can have a HEPA graded filter. And this is not crazy. I think we got it at like one of the big box stores recently because they had a sale. So I picked up 2 of them. Because I was like, this is actually a really great deal on this. And then you just have to clean out the air filters. I would say improve your gut health because just like we know, vitamin D, gut, immune system, your body's attacking these harmless chemicals and substances for a reason. So improving your GI health is always so important. And truly by getting rid of some of those common like wheat and gluten is really, really great for gut health anyways. Whenever I have kind of an active infection, there are certain things that I have the ability to do. Number one is that I get an immunity IV, vitamin C, zinc. When we talk about increasing nutrients to allow for your body to help heal. According, there was a study done in 2008 that zinc is an important part of functioning of cell mediation, innate immunity, neutrophils, natural killer cells, and can be helpful for the common cold, which again, oftentimes can look at more of those sinus related issues. Here's a fun fact. If you look at your fingernails, if you see a white spot on there, you know, someone might have taught you years and years ago that that white spot was because you hit your finger on something. It's not. It's actually a zinc deficiency. So that's an option. Vitamin D. So if it's wintertime, get out in the sun with exposed skin. You don't necessarily have to burn. But again, vitamin C, I prefer in our office, we have multiple sources of vitamin C for the ultra potency. It's my literal favorite because it not only has vitamin C, it's got citrus bioflavonoids, it's got glutathione, it's got lysine from amino acids. So from an immune system standpoint, I have yet to find. But then too, oftentimes you'll find like bioflavonoids are beneficial for respiratory conditions. Another one too is if I do have an active infection, you can find a colloidal silver spray that is specifically a nasal spray. Why it's so good is because there are nanoparticles of silver. So silver actually acts as a natural antimicrobial. So it kills off any of those things. And then rinse. Don't be afraid to rinse, rinse, rinse. My active infection, it actually did take me about three. I think I waited 4 to 5 days in between because I'd get really good for a couple of days and then that infection would take over. And then I'd be really good for a couple of days and that infection. And I finally was able to kick it. And man, it was hard. But again, there's just a time and a place for medicine. And for me personally, in that moment, it wasn't time. And I was able to do it on the other side. I am feeling great. But when you, one, have your house tested for mold. This is something that's chronic that's going on for a long duration of time. And I will say something that I think is great that I didn't even think was important until my husband pointed it out to me was that we were going to use a company that tested for mold that did not do remediation. And I was like, why does it even matter? And he said, if you remediate mold, you are going to be more likely to find mold. He's like, if you go through and you actually just search for mold, but you don't do any remediation, then there's less bias in that testing. And I was like, huh. And they did not find mold, but I have known a good handful of people with that mold exposure that cause very, very difficult, like mental health. And obviously taking out the higher inflammatory foods, increasing more of the anti-inflammatory foods. So lemons, limes, berries, green tea, ginger, apple cider vinegar, bone broth, wild caught fish, turmeric, right? Fermented vegetables for gut health, garlic, onions, and chives, smoking gun, whatever that is. But I dice up garlic. I let it sit for 10 to 15 minutes so that some of the active enzymes can activate. And then I pop it down just like I would a capsule. And it has been one of the best things. I had 104 fever with an infection that ate away at my nail. And this is before Prime IV even existed. And so I was able to do that more naturally. So your body is stronger than you can imagine. Again, I'm not your prescribing physician. So you always have to go to your doctor and ask those questions. But so many times when you look and something as simple as chronic sinus congestion, your body's trying to get your attention to tell you something. So don't ignore it. Pay attention to it. So hopefully you learned a little bit more about sinuses, not what to do, and how your body is healthy and strong every single time. If you want more information, don't hesitate to reach out. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.